You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're on 95 BFM Breakfast. Kia ora, my name is Rachel. We're not alone in the studio. We've got the wonderful Julie Joel in here. Morena, how are you this morning, Julie?
Morena kōrua. I'm going good. Yeah, how are you both?
Good. It's nice to have you in the studio because we've talked to you recently around film festival time via the magic of the internet. Mm-hmm. But we're here to talk about another amazing project that you've been working on, about Meng Foon, who people will know as Race Relations Commissioner, who's done some really incredible mahi in sort of bridging between Tauiwi and tangata whenua communities. And you've been following him for a year, creating this documentary called Meng. Tell us a little bit about how this project all started off, Julie.
The project started with, so I co-direct and co-produce, but there's another co-director, co-producer, his name's Stephen Chow, and he originally wanted to make a loading docs about Meng, and when that didn't happen, we met after that, and then he talked about, wanting to make a doco about Meng, and then I was saying that, oh, I'm also interested in Meng as someone who's also Chinese, who's been learning te reo, so just wanted to, like, learn more about his perspective as someone older who's grown up immersed in te reo and te ao Māori, and we, when the opportunity came up to make a bilingual doco, we were like, what if we made it bilingual, and then kind of framed it as like, if bilingual storytelling was the norm for all people of Aotearoa, not just Māori, but that could be the future of storytelling maybe here.
I think that's what is really striking about it from the get-go, is that you do sort of set out like that within this documentary, and it does, I guess, set a precedent or a standard for watching it, where you're like, oh, okay, this could be how it could be, you know, like this is not actually radical in the sense that when you're watching it, it's very easy to follow. You know, people get freaked out by subtitles, people get freaked out by the concept of, you know, having to do something with your eyes and a different thing with your head, but it's not actually that hard. It's a really interesting process to watch. How was it to make a film in this way? What were some of the sort of exciting bits and the challenges of that?
Yeah, I think it was exciting just like personally, because I was also filming like on the camera a lot of the time, just being with him, being with Meng at different events and or in his home life and personal life, where there were opportunities where he just has so many friends that he knows, and lots of friends or people that he meets, he'll just naturally weave in and out of different reo. Like there's this one scene, sorry, I'm not actually sure if you have seen it, you were talking like you have
seen it.
You have watched it.
Yeah.
There's that scene where he goes to someone's house, a friend's house, and then there's an old friend who's Chinese and an old friend who's Māori, and then he just like naturally weaves between Cantonese and te reo Māori and English, and it's like so fluid, and you don't even notice. So it was really special to be with him in moments like that. It was kind of hard to make it bilingual because Aotearoa is so monolingual still. Like when he goes out to public events, most of those events are English speaking. So the way that we kind of put more reo Māori into it was just through his like interview voiceovers and things like that. But it did feel really nice to be able to like understand as well at the, because his reo is, it's very, because he hasn't grown up formally speaking it, it's at a standard that I feel like is quite easy for me to understand. So I was able to, pick up those moments where I felt like, this was really special. Like, oh, there was another moment in the doco where he's at an event and he's talking to a kaumātua from Ngāti Whātua about the opening process at this event, which was organised by a Chinese woman. And then they were sort of deliberating about the processes, and you could see the woman is a bit left out from that. And then Meng just turns to her and then kind of says, oh, me venti, which is like no worries, no problem in Mandarin, and then she's like immediately put like her worries are kind of relieved a little bit. So just the way you see him doing that so naturally is really cool to see. Yeah,
it's quite an interesting role, the Race Relations Commissioner, because you sort of have to handle some of the stickiest stuff that New Zealand is trying to deal with as part of our cultural identity. What was it like talking to Meng about? I guess the experience of navigating that position, because he's, I guess, doing on a massive level what many of us are sort of trying to, you know, do on our day-to-day of understanding your position within Aotearoa as either Pākehā, Tauiwi or tangata whenua. He's sort of got to look at that on a macro scale, and speaking multiple languages and navigating those different spaces is a really interesting way in which he's approached doing that. What were some of the things you sort of were struck by talking to him about this?
I think it's interesting because on some level, I think it is mostly, like, he's got a team of advisors and people at the Human Rights Commission that sort of carry the policy side of all of this work. And in some ways, Ming is sort of just the figurehead, and he's the symbolic bridge. And that's what, what he offers in his way that he walks between different worlds. And I think it's easy to maybe say that he's not actually doing that much because he kind of just goes to events and meets people. But I think on some level, even that surface thing that he offers is enough for people who are only able to see the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, and it then does, yeah.
The people who are doing the work at the Human Rights Commission are kind of carrying that deeper policy level stuff.
Mm. What were some of the questions you guys set out to ask or answer in the making of this documentary? Because it's on tonight. People should go and watch it, and then I believe it'll be online after if they can't catch it live on terrestrial TV. But the sort of questions you're asking feel quite contemporary but old as well. Like they're not new things about these positions. What were those questions you were trying to get to the bottom of for yourself?
Like, one thing that I was really interested in as someone who, like, I feel like I've been super privileged to have learnt te reo. Like, learning te reo is a right for Māori, but it's a privilege for non-Māori at this stage, I think. And I was interested in how aware and self-reflective Ming was of that position that he's had. Because a lot of the positions and opportunities that he's gotten are because he's a fluent speaker of te reo or a confident speaker of te reo. So, I was interested to see how aware he was of that, and I do feel like that's probably like a nuance in the documentary that isn't as deep as it could have been.
Second part two. Getting to part two.
I don't know if he's as aware, and I think in some ways maybe the doco makes it still kind of portrays him as like, because you know how I'm maybe going on a totally different
no, we love a tangent on breakfast. We love a tangent
because I often talk about how, like, I think when non-Māori are learning te reo, there's a lot of attention on non-Māori learning te reo. There's a lot of praise. And Ming is someone who's like one of the most visible examples of
that.
Like, so many people love him because of that. And I don't know if we're just kind of perpetuating that again, kind of elevating him in his position. But yeah, I hope that people do see that he is just one example of how to be tangata tiriti here and how to live in relationship with Māori, but it's not the only way. I don't think we want to say that everyone needs to go out and learn te reo and then this is how you live in this country, because I think there's a lot of nuance to that position as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you guys do, I can hear the sort of like anxiety of the creator coming through in what you're saying there, but I think you guys do a very good job of trying to tread the line between understanding that, because it's such a complicated conversation, and we're still sort of in early stages of hearing it on a mainstream level in this country as well. So the more opportunities there are to talk about it, it does allow for more nuance to come through in different ways. So I think this is a very good example of a conversation starter perhaps for people on this. What was something you sort of were surprised by in the process of following Ming around for a year and making this documentary?
I think I was surprised by just how many people he knows. Like, when he goes to an event, he will just know so many people already, and people know him. Like, people be like, oh, do you remember blah blah blah, and then he's like, yeah, I went to your like 20th and wedding anniversary. Like, he will just go to the most obscure event. Like, you invite him to anything and he will show up. So
that's pretty amazing.
I do respect how much he genuinely wants to make relationships with people, and he has 5,000 Facebook friends.
I love
he goes
it.
On Facebook Live all the time just to show like his little bike ride. He'll go on a Facebook Live for like 40 minutes for his bike ride. It makes no sense, but there are people that will watch it and comment, so
that's so
he's
nice.
Clearly doing something right with his relationships.
That's awesome. Well, it's a really special documentary, and it is on tonight at 8:30 p.m. on Whakaata Māori, and then it's going to be on Māori Plus, I believe, online, and Te Māngai Pāho and NZ On Air helped fund it, so big shout outs to that as well.
Yes.
Thank you, Julie, for coming in and speaking to us about Ming. This is a really beautiful documentary, and I'd encourage people to go and see it. We'll put all the links in the podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.